إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our first session, reading from the book entitled At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajarat al-Iman by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Abdurrahman ibn Nasir Sa'adi rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah. Tonight our discussion, inshallah, is just going to entail introductory remarks concerning the topic in general, and maybe a little bit of the details related to the content of the book, the life of the author, and the specific topic that we're going to be talking about in the course of this book. I want to say first, that I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, I feel that it is a mercy and a bounty from Allah that I have been given this opportunity to present this very, very important, wonderful, beautiful, inspiring, motivating, critically important book. About 17 years ago, I taught this book for the first time because I have read it many times and I felt that it was tremendous. It wasn't translated at the time, and I hoped that how I benefited from it, that others would benefit. I had another opportunity maybe 2 years after that to teach it again. And then years went by until now. Alhamdulillah, a couple of months ago, I was given a gift. A tremendous gift of a copy of this book, which I had read many times. But subhanAllah, the day I was given this book as a gift, I said, it's about time for me to read it again. And I started reading it every morning, after Fajr, after sunrise, I would read a few pages. And then I was convinced that, it was time, by the permission of Allah, to do it again. So this is only the third time that I've had a chance to present this book in many, many years. But, I can say without a doubt that I am, as excited about it as I have ever been. And I've read this book many, many, many times. May Allah bless and shower His mercy upon the Shaykh, Al-Imam Al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. And tonight, inshallah, I want to talk first. The first point I want to deal with is the importance of knowledge and the status of the people of knowledge. Most Muslims know that knowledge is important, but maybe we don't realize how important it is, or how important are the people of knowledge, the scholars. And I'd just like to remind us of a few ayat from the Quran and a few of the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we might all be familiar with, but perhaps it will be a good reminder to us of the importance of knowledge in general. And then after that, we're going to talk about specifically the importance of this topic that we're going to be dealing with. So, the first ayat I want to mention is the very famous ayat from Surah Al-Zumar. 39th surah, 9th ayat. Probably some of us have memorized it. If we haven't, it is worthy of memorization. If a person doesn't have the intent to memorize the entire Quran, at least there should be very, very important selected ayat that we have to memorize. This is the speech of Allah. And if people can memorize things that men said, that a guy said, that a person said, that a leader said, that a ruler said, some poetry or song or whatever, how is it that we can't memorize at least something from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Yani, are they equal, the people who know, who have real knowledge, and the people who don't know? Are they equal? Yani, this is a question, the answer to which is well known, that they are not equal. They are not equal at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat is showing us the superiority of the people who know over the people who don't know. How can we be in that superior class of people? By learning, by seeking knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 28th ayah, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. That indeed, the people who have khashya of Allah, who have fear of Allah, that's based upon knowledge. Yani the proof that is based upon knowledge, I said, the people who have the khashya of Allah, from His ibad, are the ulama, the people who have knowledge. Yani, if I would want to be from amongst the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising here, that He's singling out exclusively, that these are the people who have khashya of Allah, then I have to be from those people who are striving to seek knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there are many ayats, but for the sake of time, I'll just read one more from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 18th ayat, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears witness to this ultimate reality, the greatest truth, that there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Him, except Allah. He bears witness, and He coupled to His bearing witness, al-malaika, the angels. And He coupled to them, yani the people of knowledge. Showing the station, the status of the people of knowledge, the people who possess knowledge, the scholars, the ulama. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that is hasan, reported by Ibn Majah, rahimahullah, he said, طلب العلم فريدة على كل مسلم. The Prophet ﷺ said, seeking knowledge is a fariḍa. Yani, like making salat 5 times a day is obligatory, and fasting the month of Ramadan is obligatory, and making hajj once in a lifetime is obligatory, and seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. No exception. The young and the old, the rich and the poor, the people of power and the others. Nobody is excluded from this. And in another tremendous hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever died, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ, while his condition, his state, is that he knows, he has knowledge of this reality, that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, that person has entered the Jannah. Yani, with whatever yani is against him, and Allah forgives whomever He wills. But that person will enter Jannah by knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, the Sahih, he used to supplicate, Allahumma inni as'aluka عِلْمًا نَافِيًا وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبِّلًا. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ عِلْمًا نَافِيًا. And here the Prophet ﷺ is distinguishing between knowledge and knowledge. Knowledge that is beneficial and knowledge that is not. It's not all the same. But he said, O Allah, I ask You to give me beneficial knowledge. And in another hadith, reported by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, and there are various narrations of these hadiths, sometimes the wording is a little bit different. In one of the narrations in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u wa amalin la yurfa'u wa qalbin la yakhsha'u wa du'ain la yusma'u. O Allah, I seek refuge in You from knowledge that doesn't benefit. La yanfa'u, there's no benefit. I seek refuge from that knowledge. And also, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what? amal la yurfa'u, that is not raised up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a qalbin la yakhsha, a heart that doesn't fear Allah. Wa du'an la yusma'u, and a du'a that is not heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are a few ayat and a few hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and volumes of books have been written about the importance of knowledge by the scholars of Islam. This is just yani a couple of words to remind us of that which we already know. And maybe we have memorized all of these supplications, and we have memorized these hadith and memorized these ayat, but sometimes yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرِ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for indeed the reminder benefits those who have iman. The second point that I want to discuss tonight is related to the specific topic that we're going to talk about, that is al-iman. And I just want to mention a couple of points. Yani the author, al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah, mentions a number of points, which he discusses yani briefly, each one, in this book, in the third part of this book. The book is divided into three parts. The third part is the fawaid, the benefits, or the thamarat, the fruits of iman. And each one of these parts is essential, and each one is very, very important. But subhanAllah, when you read the third part of the book, the benefits of iman, I mean, it's tremendous. Anybody whose heart is alive will be affected by it. In fact, I recently heard from a brother, and I don't want to tell the story because we don't have a lot of time, but he said that his life was changed from this book. It changed his life completely. He was never, and he was a grown man, probably 50 or 60 years old. And he was telling me that he was sending an email to all of his family. He's an old man, to his brothers, his sisters, his nephews, his nieces, everybody in his family, telling them this book is going to be taught and we need to benefit from it. He said, it changed my life. Perhaps it will change some of them. The Shaykh mentions a number of points that show the importance of this particular topic, the knowledge of al-Iman. And from amongst those points, and we're going to discuss them in detail as we go through the book, when we get to that part, but the first point he mentions, مِنْ أَعْظَمْ ثِمَارِهَا, from the most magnificent and the greatest of the fruits of Iman, is الْإِرْتِبَاطُ بِوِلَايَةِ اللَّهِ الْخَاسَةِ, that a person will yani be happy, joyous, yani jubilant with having been given the wilaya, the special guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani al-wilaya, it has a meaning that is quite detailed. I just say guardianship because for lack of a better word, but some of the scholars, like al-Imam al-Suyuti and al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they have explained the meaning of this word wilaya. And in summary, from what they said, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's summary of what he said, is that a wilaya means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to a person, that they will love what Allah loves, and they will hate what Allah hates. And they will give allegiance to the one who Allah, yani, takes care of. And so on, like this. Yani, it is a special state, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is only for the people of Iman. And the Shaykh brings some ayats, but yani, for the sake of time, I'm just going to quickly mention a couple of points. The second point he says, وَمِنْ ثَمَرَاتَ الْإِيمَانِ الْفَوْزْ بِرِضَ اللَّهِ وَدَارُ كَرَامَتِهِ وَدَارِ كَرَامَتِهِ, yani that from the fruits of Iman is that a person will achieve the success of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the home of honor that Allah has, yani, created for those who believe and do good deeds. And he mentions the ayah from Surah Tawbah, 71 and 72, and I'll just like allude to it. At the end of the ayat, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of the characteristics of the believers that will achieve this great success, and yani some of the other rewards that they receive, after Allah mentions Jannah and the beautiful lofty mansions in Jannah and the people remaining in forever and the mercy of Allah, he says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ, and the pleasure of Allah, that is the greatest. Yani it's greater than the Jannah and whatever is in it. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about this in some detail. Yani we'll come to it in the future inshallah. The third thing that the Imam mentions, number three, he says, وَمِنْهَا, yani from the fruits and the benefits of iman, and the iman al-kamil yamna'u min dukhul an-nar wal iman walau qalilan yamna'u min khulud fiha. Yani that the one who has complete and perfect iman, it will prevent him from entry into the hellfire. He will never enter the fire. And the one who has iman, even a little bit of iman, it will prevent him from remaining in the hellfire. Yani even if he entered, he would not remain. Perfect iman, al-iman al-kamil, yani prevents a person from dukhul, from entry into the hellfire. Jazakallahu khair. And even a little bit of iman that's not perfect will prevent a person from khulud, from remaining eternally in the hellfire. And the last one I want to mention, he said that from the fruits of iman is that all of our actions and all of our speech will only be correct, valid, complete and perfect in accordance with what we possess of iman. In accordance with our iman. Yani no deed, no action or speech will be valid, nor will it be complete or perfect except in accordance with the amount of iman that we have, and ikhlas. So if a person doesn't have iman, then no deed, nothing that they do or say will be of any benefit. The next point that I want to make in these introductory comments is, yani, briefly look at the definition of iman. We're going to talk about it because the whole first section of the book is dealing with the definition of iman. We're going to talk about it in detail, yani in several sittings. But I just want to give us an idea, because we started to mention this definition of iman in the last class that we were doing, we ran out of time. So I want to go back to it now, take advantage of this opportunity to mention what Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah says in his book Manhaj Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal. The manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah related to affairs of aqidah and actions, deeds, worship. And he says in that book, and I'm going to try to summarize it a little bit for the sake of time. Al-Iman haqiqatuhu inda Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah huwa i'tiqad al-qalb wa qawl al-lisan wa amal al-jawarih. That Iman, its reality, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is conviction that's in the heart, speech of the tongue, and actions of the limbs of the body. I'tiqad in the heart, speech on the tongue, and actions that we do with our body. And then he mentions, yani, some proof for this, yani, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he said, iman is 70 some odd branches. The highest of it is saying la ilaha illallah, and the lowest of it is removing, yani, in action, removing something from the road, and al-haya, yani modesty, shyness, is also a branch of iman. Then the Shaykh explains, yani in this hadith, how it proves that speech is a part of iman, and action is a part of iman, and yani the heart, yani what happens in the heart is also a part of iman. The Shaykh, he then says, the aqidah of the heart, it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, al-iman an tu'minu billahi وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. يعني the عقيدة, the يعني faith or the conviction or the creed, or I don't know, what do we say for عقيدة, يعني what we believe in, the belief that's in the heart, this اعتقاد or عقيدة, it is having, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that iman is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day and the divine decree, the good and the evil of it. This is the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Muslim. What is important here is that the core essence of iman is believing in Allah, and everything else comes from that. Yani, iman in the angels and the books and the messengers and the day of judgment, all is based upon first having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says, the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they also say, yani, that iman is conviction in the heart, and it's speech on the tongue and actions of the limbs. They also say, inna al-imam yazid wa yanqus. That iman increases and it also decreases. The Quran points to the increase of iman in many ayats in the Quran. And the Shaykh says, وَالدَّرُورَةُ الْعَقْلِيَّةِ تَقْتَدِي أَنَّ كُلُّ مَا ثَبَتَ أَنَّهُ يَزِيدْ فَهُوَ يَنْقُسْ. الدرورة العقلية يعني rational necessity. الدرورة العقلية rational necessity يعني the mind necessitates. If a person's mind is sound, it necessitates that anything which is confirmed to have the ability to increase, then it must also have the يعني it has to also be subject to decrease. Because it is not يعني acceptable rationally that something has the ability to increase and doesn't have the ability to decrease. And then the Shaykh mentions some ayats from the Quran, and he also mentions about the conviction that's in the heart. He said, وَكَذَلِكْ يَقُولُ The Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they also say, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ الَّذِي هُوَ عَقِدَةِ الْقَلْبِ يَخْتَلِفُ قُوَّةً وَدَعْفًا يعني that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they also say that the iman, the aqidah, the conviction that's in the heart, it differs from one person to another in terms of its strength and weakness. It's not all the same. Some people's iman is stronger, some people's iman is weaker. And everybody's iman, yani has the potential to strengthen and weaken. Yani iman increases and decreases, it doesn't remain static, stable. But it increases, yani as the scholars of the Sunnah say, increase with acts of obedience and decrease with acts of disobedience. And yani various wordings have been used for that. He mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reference to this, yani the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى Oh my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you not tu'min, do you not believe? Yani do you not believe that I have declared that I will resurrect the dead? You don't believe that I have the ability to do so? And of course, Allah know that Ibrahim alayhi salam believed that he had no doubt about it. But the scholars of Sunnah said that the reason why Allah asked him, do you not believe, is so that other people will know why Ibrahim asked that. He didn't ask it because he had doubt of how or does Allah have the ability to give life to the dead, but he wanted his certainty about this matter to rise from the level of yani ilm al-yaqeen to Ayn al-Yaqeen. And he knew it from Allah informing us of it. Knowledge. Ilm al-Yaqeen. But he wanted to take it to a higher level. Ayn al-Yaqeen. To see it. Al-Mushahida. Al-Mu'ayyana. And here the Shaykh mentions a saying, and it's actually a hadith, from a hadith that's sahih. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ الْخَبَرْ كَالْمُعَيَّنَا يعني المشاهدة. That hearing about something, receiving information, is not like seeing it yourself. And he takes it to another level. And like I said, I'm summarizing a little bit what the Shaykh said. So he said, and they also say, يعني the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they say, الإيمان يزيد وينقص حتى في عقيدة القلب. يعني the iman increases and decreases, not just in the speech of iman or the actions of iman, but also the conviction that's in the heart. And this is something that every human being knows from their own self. And whoever denies this increase and decrease of iman, then they have opposed the shara, that which Allah has legislated and revealed, and the waqiyah, and reality. For indeed, iman increases and decreases. The summary is that the iman, according to Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, yani is the i'tiqad, the conviction that's in the heart, wa qawl al-lisan, the speech of the tongue, wa amal al-jawari, and the actions of the limbs of the body, and iman yazid bi-ta'a wa yanqus bil-ma'asiyah, and iman increases and decreases with acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and decreases with acts of disobedience. Let me take a look at this time. Allahu musta'an. Here I want to mention, I remember when I did this book many years ago, we went into a lengthy discussion concerning this, but I'm going to summarize it this time. Some of the sayings of the scholars of the past that conform with what we are claiming is the true meaning of iman. So from amongst them is al-imam Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah, the famous imam of the known for the Hanbali madhab. In his book Usul al-Sunnah, he says, Usul al-Sunnah indana at-tamassaku bima kana alayhi ashab rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That the fundamentals of the Sunnah with us are holding fast to that which the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon, wal ittida'u bihim, and taking them as a model to follow their example in how they act and how they speak and what they do and how they worship, and of course, yani, how they believe. To the end of what he said, and then he reached in the 24th point, وَالْإِمَانُ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُسُ. That iman is speech and action. It increases and decreases. كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْخَبَرِ. As it came in the khabar, yani in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. That the most complete and perfect of the believers, in reference to iman, in reference to their iman, the most and complete and perfect of the believers is the best of them in character. In character. Not in claims and speech and dressing and outward appearance, but in character. Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abdah, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve them, he said in an explanation of the book of summary of Sahih Muslim, in his explanation of that book, he said, فِيهِ, in this hadith, فِيهِ أَنَّ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَالْآدَابِ وَالتَعَامُلَاتِ كُلُّهَا دَاخِلَةٌ فِي الْإِمَانِ. And in this hadith is an indication that character and manners and your interactions with the people, all of that is a part of iman. And then he said, وَكُلُّ مَا زَادَ الْمُؤْمِنْ خُلُقًا زَادَ إِمَانًا. And as much as the believer increases in good character, they will increase in iman. Oh, how we are in need of character, good character. I'm going to mention one other. I was going to mention two, but I'll leave it to one. I'm going to mention also the saying of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd in his يعني عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة known as المقدمة, the مقدمة of Ibn Abi Zayd رحمه الله. الإمام أبو محمد عبد الله بن أبي زيد القيرواني. He was born in the year 310 and died in the year 386, and he was known, because he was from the Maliki Madhab, he was known as المالك الصغير. Not just because of his knowledge of hadith, but because of his adherence to the sunnah and opposition to the people of innovation. He says in his introduction, وَأَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ. I have to read this one because he brought يعني, some fawaid, some benefits that's tremendous. أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ. Iman is speech on the tongue. وَإِخْلَاصٌ بِالْقَلْبِ. And sincerity in the heart. يعني action of the heart. إخلاص. وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجِوَارِ. And actions by the limbs of the body. وَيَزِيدُ بِزِيَادَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ. And it increases by an increase in doing deeds, yani good deeds, active worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْقُسُ بِنَقْسِهَا. And it's decreased by those actions, decrease in doing good deeds or doing acts of disobedience. فَيَقُونُ بِهَا النَّقْسُ وَبِهَا زِيَادَةً. So the decrease of iman and the increase of iman is from deeds. Not only deeds, but also because yani this was the issue about what's the people who deviated, amongst the Muslims deviated about. Yani were actions a part of iman? Or was it just a conviction in the heart? And some of those who deviated, murji'a, some of them said, yani speech on the tongue. But not actions. So he's saying here that iman is increased by actions or decreased by actions. And then he said, yani, and then he said something that is agreed upon. But we didn't hear most of the scholars of Sunnah mentioning this as a part of iman. He said, وَلَا يُكْمَلُ قَوْلُ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِالْعَمَلِ. Yani that the speech of iman is not completed and perfected except with action. You gotta do some action. وَلَا قَوْلُ وَلَا عَمَلٌ إِلَّا بِالنِّيَّةِ. Nor the speech or action, is it completed or perfected except with niyyah, right intention. So whatever a person says or whatever they does, there has to be intention. Ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And then he says, وَلَا قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَنِيَّةٌ إِلَّا بِمُوَافَقَتِ السُّنَّةِ. إِلَّا بِمُوَافَقَتِ السُّنَّةِ. And the speech and the action and the intention, it's not complete and perfect without being in agreement with the sunnah. And we know from the hadith, yani various hadith that are well known to all of us, that the niyyah is important. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. And that muwafaqat al-sunnah is important. Right? Because what? Huh? إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنَا. A hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رُدٌّ. Whoever does these, not in accordance with this matter of ours, not in accordance with what Allah has legislated, not in accordance with the sunnah, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ مَرْدُودٌ. It's rejected. Allah doesn't accept it. So, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, rahimahullah, he says that iman is speech on the tongue, sincerity of the heart, actions of the limbs. It increases by actions and decreases by opposite actions, so that the increase and decreases by actions, but the speech of iman is not completed except that is followed by actions that are in accordance with it. And the speech and the actions is not complete except with sincere intentions. And none of this is of any benefit unless it's in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'll refer you to a book that's translated, Lumat al-I'tiqad al-Hadi ila Sabila al-Rashad, and the tremendous explanation by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. In this book, Al-Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah also mentions Al-Iman qawlun wa amalun, and he has some discussion about this, but for the sake of time, I'll refer you to that book. You can find it there. Yani, very beautiful, tremendous explanation. The last point that I want to make is something from a book that all of us have in our homes, inshallah. Yani, the Sahih of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, in his Sahih, in the second Kitab, Kitab Al-Iman, after Kitab Al-Wahy, he has a series of abwab, yani chapters, under the book of Iman. From amongst them, he said, Bab Ziyada al-Iman wa Nuqsani. A chapter related to increase of Iman and decrease of Iman. Meaning, in here he's going to mention hadith which prove that Iman increase and decrease. But even before that, he said, in this Kitab al-Iman, Bab min al-Iman an tuhibb li akhihi ما يحب لنفسه. أن يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. يعني that a part of iman is that you love for your brother what you love for yourself. That's a part of iman. يعني if a person is concerned about their iman, then they have to know what are the elements, the components, the essential يعني aspects of iman, so that we can يعني try to take hold of those things. So one of the part of iman is that you love for your brother, Muslim, what you love for yourself. What you love, and you love, and your sister loves for the sister Muslim, as she loves for herself. The Shaykh, the Imam, he said, Bab, حُبَّ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Loving the messenger is from iman. وَعَلَامَةُ الْإِيمَانِ حُبَّ الْأَنصَارِ. One of the signs that a person has iman is loving the ansar. وَالْحَيَاءُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani modesty, shyness, is a part of iman. And he, just like a person is shy in front of people are watching, their co-workers, their classmates, their neighbors, or just people in general, they're shy. Where's the shyness, the haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That haya is a part of iman, is a tremendous part of iman, that a person knows that Allah is watching, Allah hears, Allah sees, Allah knows what we are doing. And then he went on to say also, chapters from iman is Qiyam al-Layl, Qiyam Laylat al-Qadr. Yani standing in the night of Qadr. Al-Jihad min al-Iman. Al-Tatawwu Qiyam al-Ramadan. Voluntary standing. Yani in Ramadan is from iman. Fasting, Ramadan, with ihtisab. Yani with expectation and anticipation of the reward of Allah is from iman. Al-Salat min al-Iman. Following the janaz is from iman. Fulfilling the khumus is a part of iman. Yani the fifth, that is taken as spoils of war given to the Muslim leader to be distributed accordingly. These are chapters that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned. He named the chapter behind these things for what? To prove that yani iman is not just the conviction in the heart, but it includes a lot of other things. Allahu Akbar. So, these are the introductory remarks that I wanted to make, and what remains is just a brief discussion concerning the author himself. I think most of us, I imagine that most of us, we know something about Al-Imam Al-Sa'di, either because we heard his name so many times, we read some of his books, or whatever. But he is a famous yani scholar, yani from this time. I mean, he wasn't from centuries ago. So, in any case, nonetheless, yani just to remind us of the station and the status of this great Imam, subhanAllah, yani I summarized from Sheikh Abdul Razak, his book, his PhD thesis, yani which the title of it was Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di wa juhuduhu fi tawdih al-aqidah. Yani Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di and his efforts in clarification of the yani Islamic aqidah. That was his PhD thesis. The biography that he wrote for the Sheikh is about 70 pages. So I just took a little bit from here and there to give us yani synopsis of some of what he said about the Sheikh. His name is, and by the way, I don't know what's in this box, but I think oh, this is the Arabic, huh? Arabic? And there's some English. Okay, mashallah. So if anybody doesn't have a copy of this book in Arabic or English, before you leave tonight, we're going to try to give them out to whoever we can, yani. If you already have it, then leave it for whoever doesn't have it, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. The Sheikh, he says his name, and by the way, his biography, inshallah, I'll send you the summary that we made for it. I'll send it to the class. If anybody, if we don't have your email address, please give us your email address and write it clearly, the letters and the numbers and everything, so I can read it clearly and put you on our list. So the notes that we're sending out during the course of this class, so that you can receive it. Because yani, it will be a little bit difficult to photocopy everything every time we have some notes. So inshallah, I'll send it to you. Okay? Biography of the author. His name is the Shaykh Al-Allama Abu Abdullah Abdurrahman ibn Nasr ibn Abdullah ibn Nasr Ali Sa'di from the tribe of Tamim. Yani, Abu Abdullah Abdurrahman ibn Nasr Sa'di from the tribe of Tamim. He was born in the city of Unayza Al-Qasim, which was then and is now a tremendous yani city of learning and of yani, I don't know, what do you call it in English? Yani, a place where people are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at least when I went there last, during the lifetime of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and it was a tremendous place. It was a place, if you go there, and if you don't have the ability to stay in Medina or Mecca, then you want to be there. He was born in Unayza al-Qasim, northwest of Riyadh, on the 12th of Muharram, in the year 1307. And what year are we in now? In the Hijri calendar? 1442. 1307. So that was 1307. That's when he was born. His mother died when he was 4 years old. And then his father died when he was 7 years old. So he was raised as an orphan. But his father's wife, yani his mother had died. So while his father was living, his father had advised his wife that was living to take care of this boy if anything happens to him. So when the father died, after the mother died, the wife of the father took care of him and gave special care to him to the extent that they said she treated him and loved him more than her own children. And this is a lesson for those who are raising children that are not their biological children. That these Muslim children deserve our care and love. Then his brother, his older brother, his father had also advised him to take care of your little brother, and his brother took him and raised him well. He completed the reading of the Quran after his father's death. His father died when he was 7 years old. He completed the reading of the Quran, and he going through how to read the Quran properly. And it's not just like reading a book, right? You have to know how to read the Quran. When he was 7 or 8. And then he memorized it by heart with proficiency at the age of 11. And I don't know if who of us have been trying to memorize the Quran or have memorized the Quran, what that entails. When he was 11 years old, he completed the memorization of the Quran with proficiency. And then at 11, he busied himself with seeking knowledge from the scholars of his land and those who visited it. He exerted every effort and applied himself with diligence until he achieved an abundant share in each of the fields of Islamic knowledge. And when he was 11 years old, he became a talib al-ilm. And he studied and he sought knowledge seriously. Seriously. And that is also a lesson to us who are older, who are 20 years old or 30 years old or 40 years old. Why are we not serious about this? This matter is serious. When he reached the age of 23, yani after 12 years of serious study, he memorized the Quran 11, and for 12 years he studied until he became a teacher. At 23 he became a teacher. He was teaching Islam. Hence he was learning and teaching. Spending all of his time with knowledge. This went on until the year 1350. Yani 20 years later, and he started teaching at 23, and 20 years later in the year 1350, after 20 years of studying, he became the main reference for learning in his city and the object of trust and dependence and learning for all of those who sought knowledge. And he was 43 years old. And he was the man in the city of learning that everybody went to who wanted to learn. By now, he has spent 20 years teaching. And he spent 12 years learning after memorizing the Quran. And he became the main source of knowledge in the city of Unayzah. Some of his teachers, I'll just mention a few of them. I mentioned more than a few, but for the sake of time. He has learned from Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Hamid ibn Jasir, who was the first of his teachers. The author used to describe his Shaykh as having memorized the hadith, as having memorized the hadith, meaning all hadith, as well as his piety and his love for the poor. He also studied with Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Karim al-Shibli, whom he studied fiqh, jurisprudence, and various aspects of Arabic language. He also studied with Shaykh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi. Shaykh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi, the Qadi of Unayzah, with whom he studied Tawheed, Tafsir, Fiqh, the Usul and the Furu, branches of Fiqh, as well as fields of Arabic language. Shaykh Salih was the Shaykh with whom the author had studied the most. That was his main teacher. And he studied with him until he died in the year 1351. And if you remember, we said that in the year 1350, after 20 years of teaching, he became the main source of knowledge in the city. His teacher was still living. He was in the last year of his life. Shaykh Salih ibn Uthman al-Qadi. His other teachers included Shaykh Abdullah ibn Ayyad, Shaykh Sabd al-Tuwajiri, Shaykh Ali al-Sinani, Shaykh Ali al-Nasr, with whom he studied hadith, including but not limited to Al-Ummahat al-Sitta, the six main, and he studied the six books of hadith, and beyond that, but he studied with them specifically for which he was given ijazah, permission to teach them. And also, I want to note, when I looked at the dates of the birth and death of his teachers, I saw that some of them lived, 69, like himself, 97, 69, 80. His teachers lived 60 and 70, 80, 90 years. And he studied with them until they died. His teachers also included Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Muhammad al-Maniya and Sheikh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti. And he met Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti when the Shaykh visited Unayzah for the purpose of teaching. And he studied with him tafsir, hadith, mustalah hadith, and various fields of Arabic language such as nahw and sarf. I think everybody knows who Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti is. And Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti is probably the greatest scholar of tafsir in this era. And he had a student. Who studied with him until he died, who was teaching in Medina in the Prophet's Masjid, and they said that this teacher, while Shaykh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti was living, for 20 years he sat and learned, he never taught the student until his Shaykh died. As far as the character and manners of the author, and he summarized some of it, he was characterized as having reached a high degree of noble manners. Manners. And he was humble with the young and the old, the rich and the poor. And he was humble with everyone. He was especially compassionate with the poor and needy. And strangers who he himself would personally help And if he didn't have the ability, then he would seek the sympathy of the wealthy people that he knew loved to help people in need. And he would help the people himself. But when he wasn't able, he would find help for them. This is the example of a scholar. He had the best manners of teaching and most effective in making people understand. He was very organized in arranging the times for teaching. And he used to start debates between his students who had reached a high level of learning in order to sharpen their minds. He used to offer a prize to whoever would memorize certain mutun, yani texts of books of yani fiqh or hadith or tafsir and so on. And everybody who memorized it would get a prize. Even if they were first, second or third, it didn't matter. He didn't leave anybody out. He would consult his students concerning the selection of the most beneficial books to study. And he would give preference to that which was desired by the majority. His students were never bored from sitting with him too long if he prolonged his teaching, since they used to enjoy immensely sitting with him. They never wanted him to stop. As far as his status and knowledge, he was highly proficient in fiqh, in the fundamentals and the branches of fiqh. In the beginning, he was following the Hanbali madhab, yani based on what he was being taught by his teachers. And for that reason, he memorized some of the yani books of Hanbali fiqh. In fact, early on, he authored a book of fiqh that consisted of about 400 lines of poetry. A book of fiqh that he wrote in the form of poetry with a brief explanation. But he never published it because it was based on his early views before he had yani excelled in learning. Most of his preoccupation and most of his benefit in learning was from the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And he gained a tremendous amount of khair as a result of these two great teachers in the sciences of aqidah, tawheed, tafsir, fiqh and other beneficial sciences. As a result of his enlightenment through these books, he was no longer confined to the Hanbali madhab. Rather, he began to give preference to the view that was based on the stronger dalil. And in spite of that, he never criticized the scholars of the madahib, as some people do today. He attained a high degree of proficiency in tafsir, and he excelled in it, and he wrote a tremendous book that's composed of a number of volumes, which he explained, yani which was written, yani orally, yani he was explaining it spontaneously. He was always reading the Quran with his students, which he would explain to them and make clear its meanings and point out different benefits and unique points and things in it. And they loved it so much because of what? His excellence of language, expressions, and extensiveness of evidence. And if you read that tafsir, it is a tremendous, inspiring tafsir. Yani it is like if there's a tafsir that's academic, yani that you study in college, for example, and there's a tafsir that's practical, that you really just want to know how to apply the Quran. When you read it, that's what you feel like I have to just do this stuff. Whoever met him, studied with him, and researched with him, knew his level of scholarship, just like those who read his books and his fatawa. I just want to mention, yani we listed a number of books, I just want to mention three of his books that I think are tremendously important. The first of them is his main explanation of the Quran, entitled Taysir Al-Kareem Ar-Rahman Fi Tafsir Kalam Al-Mannan. Taysir Al-Kareem Ar-Rahman Fi Tafsir Kalam Al-Mannan, which is in several volumes. Yani today they publish it with small print in one big fat volume, and previously they also published it in two volumes, and the best one that I've seen is the one that I have, which is published in five volumes. It's nice, big print, and easy to read. Also, 10 years after that tafsir, he wrote another tafsir at the request of some of the people who said, it's too much, can you just give us something summarized, the core essence of the Quran? And he wrote Taysir Al-Latif Al-Mannan Fi Khulasatu Tafsir Al-Quran. Taysir Al-Latif Al-Mannan Fi Khulasatu Tafsir Al-Quran. And another book that is of great importance in this field of tafsir, that is Al-Qawaid Al-Hisan Li Tafsir Al-Quran, in which he mentioned tremendous principles related to understanding the Quran and its explanation. The last thing I want to mention as we close here is his objective in writing. And I think this is tremendous. Yani out of those 70 pages, one of the most important things that I read when I read his biography was his objective in writing. Sheikh Abdul Razak says, in his biography, the intention behind his writing was the spread of knowledge and the call to al-haq. Yani his intent in writing was to spread knowledge and to call people to the truth. He didn't have any worldly objective. It is for this reason that he wrote and published as many books as he was able to produce while not receiving any transitory, short-lived benefits like money, for example, nor any worldly gain. All the books that he wrote, he didn't receive anything from the worldly benefits from them. Rather, he would distribute his works free of charge. Yani he would write books, print them and give them out free in order that more people may benefit from them. So his objective in writing was, number one, to spread the knowledge and to call people to the truth and to benefit the people. After a long life that lasted nearly 69 years in the service of knowledge, he returned to his Lord in the year 1376. Yani he was born in the year 1307 and he almost reached 70. He died in the year 1376 in the city that he was born in, the city of Unayza, Qasim. May Allah have mercy upon him, shower his vast mercy upon him and reward him with all khair for all that he contributed towards the spread of Islam and the benefit of the Muslims. And may Allah grant us success in that which is pleasing to him. And this is what I could summarize from the 70 pages that Shaykh Abdul Razak, may Allah protect and preserve him, wrote. And I'm going to close just by mentioning just a word that from the introduction, the author's introduction, which we're going to do next week. But I just want to mention a word from what he said concerning this book. And after his praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prayers on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَمَّا بَعْدُ فَهَذَا الْكِتَابُ يَحْتَوِي عَلَى مَبَاحِثِ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani this book is composed of discussions or researches related to al-Iman. التي هي أهم مباحث الدين وأعظم أصول الحق واليقين. And these researches related to Iman are from amongst the most important of whatever a person might study in this deen. And they are from the greatest of the fundamentals, the foundations of the truth and yaqeen. And this is the these fundamentals, he said, are derived from the Book of Allah and derived from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until the end of what he said, and then he said, "For indeed, a person needs to learn these things, strive and struggle to learn these things and understand them well, because to the extent that a person understands al-Iman and the matters of Iman, to that extent, they will have an opportunity to achieve al-Khair wal-Falah wal-Sa'ad al-Ajila." والآجلة بحسب نصيبه من هذه الشجرة. And to the extent that a person knows about Iman, the fundamentals of Iman and the branches of Iman and the matters related to Iman, to that extent will be, that will be the extent to which a person is going to achieve a success. To that extent a person will have a chance to be successful in earning the reward of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the reward in this world and the reward in the next life. And in accordance with what they understand from the matters of Iman, that's based on this discussion that we're going to be taking in the next few weeks or months, Allahu A'lam, if Allah allows us, related to this parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and was read in the Salat that we just performed, the parable of the good word that's like a good tree. We're going to be talking about that. And throughout this book, the good word is the kalimat al-tawheed, la ilaha illallah, and it's like a tree in the heart of the mu'min. And that's what we're going to be discussing. That's what the shaykh wrote the book about. And in the first part of this book is dealing with the definition of Iman, and he goes into detail with its definition and the proofs and evidences. And the second part deals with the essential components, the things that strengthen Iman. And the third part deals with the fruits and benefits of Iman. And every one of them is of the utmost importance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success, and each of us success, to understand what the author has written here, to take it to heart, and to strive, and to understand it to the extent that we are capable of applying it, and that we apply it in our lives, in public and in private. so that we can return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know, do we have time to take a question?
Yeah.
I don't really want to take a question, but if there's something that I said that's not clear, if there's something that we said that's not clear, then we can only take a question about that, like try to clarify it. Anybody? Okay, alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan.